In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, amen. Today we are wrapping up, concluding our sermon series on the word generous. I know some of you have said, Pastor, we have said this word so much, I feel like I'm going to throw up every time we hear it. And if that is you, then we have done our job correctly. Generosity is not something that we just think about for 6 weeks, but it's rather the demeanor and the reflection of who our God is. A God who comes and shows us generosity in so many different ways. In summary, the thought for today and in reality the Christian life can be summarized by this from 1 John chapter 4. We love because God first loved us. We are generous because of the generosity that God shows to us. Maybe you are someone with particular skill or ability as we reflect on it for today and the generosity of deeds. Maybe you are someone that God has given unique abilities to. Maybe you can roll your tongue, lick your elbow, are double jointed. Maybe you're someone that can sing. Maybe you're someone that can't sing. But whatever it is, we are confident that God gives gifts, just like we heard in our children's lesson, to every single person in this room. As we begin our time together today, we went out and asked some of our own members in the congregation, what are some ways in which God has shown you a generosity by giving you gifts that you can then help other people? I'd like to show you this video about what some of our members said at this time.
This week, we discover what it means to be generous indeed. What is a deed?
I think a deed is when you do something nice for someone else.
A deed is like an action. It could be like positive or negative, just something you do for someone else.
What do you think it means to be generous indeed?
It means giving away your time and putting a lot of effort into something in order to help someone else.
To spend your time with someone else and spend your time doing something with them.
To be generous indeed would be to use your gifts to help other people.
How can you use your gifts and abilities to help other people?
Well, I think you have to really know yourself and know where your strengths lie.
I think there's a lot of ways to bless others, but the most important thing to do first is to pause and be still and listen for God's voice and then watch for opportunities to bless others. And we're all so unique and we're so gifted in different ways that just taking one little step in what you naturally know you do well is going to be the best thing to bless others.
Do you think that some people's gifts and talents are more useful than others?
It kind of seems that way initially when you think about it. Like, you know, maybe someone's more outgoing and that's more useful in certain areas. But I think God has given us all different talents for a reason. And I think that we can use our talents to serve Him the best that we are able to.
Why do you think it can sometimes be difficult for us to use our gifts and abilities for other people?
Because we as humans are selfish. You can either choose to volunteer and help out, or you can choose to have a Friday night to hang out with your friends and do whatever you want.
To reach out beyond ourselves and put others before our needs is always hard, but with Jesus, you can do it all.
Do you think using our gifts and abilities to help others really makes a difference?
Absolutely, yes.
I think it really does make a difference, because if you promote something with your gifts and talents, it could lead to something really good.
You know, not everyone knows the love of Jesus, and I think when you're able to do something nice for someone or use your talents to help them, you're really letting them have a glimpse of what God's love is.
We recognize in this Christian community that God has given us deeds, things that He has instilled in our hearts that we can do to serve others. And I want you right now to take a moment and reflect with yourself. If you want to get something more out of this sermon, then all right, Pastor, I clocked in, I clocked out. You need to be honest with yourself. What is something that God has given to you? What is some particular gift that he is hardwired in your brain or your bodies. Maybe you are that person that is just a wizard at math and science. Maybe you have a charismatic ability to speak and lead people into truth. Maybe you are someone that has that brain for just the arts and all things music. But whatever it is, we recognize that it comes from God. And that is the fundamental Christian position that we reflect on for today. But in this world, even though we as Christians know this, our children's message echoes this, we know this to be true. We still live in a world where the devil, the world, and our sinful selves come and try and pull us away from all the things that God has prepared for us. We know the things we should be doing, the people we should be helping, how we can benefit ourselves and the greater society, and yet the devil comes just like he always does, and he whispers lies into our ears, trying to pull us away from God's truth. He's done this ever since the beginning, hasn't he? Already in Genesis chapter 1, we hear that serpent come, and he says, "Did God really say?" In the beginning, God created everything, and it was good. It was tov magov, the Hebrew words say. It was very good, and it pleased God. And yet Satan comes, and he says, "Did God really say?" And we ourselves ask that same question today, don't we? Did God really say that my gifts are really meant to serve other people? Did God really say that the abilities that I have are really come from the Almighty Maker, and we are turned away from ourselves and turned towards the things not of this world, turned towards the impurity of our thoughts, our minds, our hearts, and our sinful desires? But sometimes Satan leads us away, not just with the pleasures of the world, but also our very own possessions. Growing up, my first job was cutting grass. I'm sure many of you had that as your first job as well. $7 an hour. It was a racket, I thought. My dad paid for the gas. I thought I was rolling in cash. Then I go off to study to be a teacher. I go to an affluent suburb of Chicago, and I babysit for $15 an hour, and I think, whoa, what am I going to do with all of this money? And I reflected then, and just like people do today, what is the common response? How much money do you need in your life? How much possessions do you need in your life? Answer, just a little bit more. And that was my thought too. So I go on, and God gave me a wife, and I thought, what would I even do with more than $15 an hour? And my wife, her first job, she's a Lutheran teacher. She makes $27,000 a year as her first paycheck. And I think this is the epitome of everything. This is incredible. What would I even do with just a few more dollars to my name, a few more nickels? And then God makes me a full-time pastor. She has a part-time job. But that constant thought, as the devil comes and weaves thoughts and lies in your heads, is this: how much money do you need? How much more possessions do you need to benefit yourselves and other people? A common sinful human response is always this: just a little bit more. I just want a little bit bigger 401k, a little bit bigger 403b. If I could just retire to Florida just a few years earlier. And instead of inwardly reflecting on the things we've been given in our deeds to help others, we listen to Satan and his lies that says, did God really say you should use that to help others? Did God really say you need just a little bit more? But Satan comes and he also works on our hearts and our minds by the production of the world. Get this. From 20 years ago, stores on the whole, Amazon, grocery stores, Walmart, car dealerships, there are 50% more items in your average store today than there were 20 years ago. 50% more. Walmart is 50% bigger. Target is. Amazon is, which didn't exist. But you get my point. And part of the beauty of this is the benefits of our society. But the other reality is this: Christians, we continually want to turn in on ourselves and get things for ourselves, useless things that don't honor God or other people. people, and Satan comes and he whispers that lie again. Did God really say? And in the midst of this, Christians need to hunker down and affirm these thoughts and these words: our God is generous. He comes and gives us a generosity of spirit and indeed that only we have. So I ask you again today, what is something that God has only given to you? Maybe it's your mind. Maybe it's your intellect. Maybe it's a compassionate spirit that nobody else has and a willingness to do something, to show mercy work to those in need. Whatever it is, we affirm it has been given to us by God. Now we see this today in our scripture readings as Jesus comes on the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, he lays out the greatest sermon ever told. And here's the SparkNotes version of it. Jesus says, love God and love other people. He calls us to be salt in our scripture readings for today. He calls us to be that light. And the Apostle Paul in our epistle reading for today, he doubles down on the same truth. He comes and he says, if your gift that God has given to you is to be generous, then show generosity. If it's to be a leader, then lead with zeal. If it is to have a compassionate spirit, then lead with compassion as you show mercy and heart to other people. Because our God is faithful and he is good. Now, I can give you a million examples about how our congregation embodies this, and I think on the whole, we do pretty well. But I want to highlight one for us today, if I may, and that was and is our most recent prom event called Night to Shine. Perhaps you've heard of an event like this. It was a recent event where we got to host 150 people with special needs who came on our community, and we celebrated and honored them as kings and queens of the night. And we had people with special gifts and abilities that helped for something like this. Some of them on the red carpet. Marcy Scholl would be chief amongst them. Marcy Scholl's gift would be hospitality, if I could say that, in an encouraging spirit. And Marcy Scholl on the red carpet would read out those names and everyone would go bananas on the red carpet. And it was a sight to behold. As we had 100 people down that red carpet going bananas at the result and the encouragement and the leadership of Marcy Scholl, thank you for that. And your willing, compassionate spirit as you lead us indeed. We had Jessica Crawford, who oversaw the entire ministry and action team with her leadership ability, recognizing and leading 450 volunteers. We had people, and I know there are some in this room, who opened up their checkbooks and lavishly and generously made that night possible. And for that, that is a deed from God to which we say thank you. There are some of you who are prayer warriors. As you tell me, as you sit in different Bible studies, whether they be on Tuesday nights or the Bible studies that are led by Steve Carter on Tuesday night and Wednesday morning, and you are prayer warriors that sit in there and you pray for the people here in this congregation, that is a generosity of deed. And we are thankful for that. Because Christians must recognize that we love, we give, because we have a Savior who first loved us. This God has been working countless times in the scriptures. In the Old Testament, it says that God rushed upon people and he gives his people in the Old Testament strength to lift gates on their back and to defeat their enemies. And even sometimes defending themselves against wild animals. God works that way in the Old Testament, giving them power and strength. In the New Testament, it says that God gives people all sorts of different gifts. Love, joy, and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. God gives these things. He also gives people the ability to speak in different languages and tongues. As at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descends upon them, and they are able to speak Greek and Hebrew, Parthenian and Mede, without ever formally studying the language. Our God can do anything. And he does amazing things in you. Your life is not insignificant. Your life is not meaningless. You have abilities and gifts, hardwired and given to you by God. Your work and purpose in this world is of value. Your deeds matter. And for that, I say thank you. But in the midst of all the lies that we have, when Satan comes and tries to lead us away by the pleasures of this world, or the possessions of this world, or the productions of this world, we have a God who comes and shows us a generosity of deed that only He can do. Jesus comes into this world and only He can do this deed. As He comes and lives a perfect life for all the times where we listen to Satan and go astray, Jesus is perfect on our behalf. On all the times when we are not generous, Jesus goes to the cross and He loves and He dies for us. On all the times where we are led away by the temptations of this world, we have a Jesus who indeed rises from the dead. And because He rises from the dead, we can talk about this message to affirm that you have a generosity and love from God, and we show that generosity to others. This is our Christian love. Let me leave you with this final thought from 1 John chapter 4. We love because God first loved us. Show that generosity to others as we pray this in His mercy and peace, both now and forevermore.